It's the Foches Show with TW, Dougie Fresh, Mark, and Phony Bennett. Phony, what's happening this week?
Busy week on Twitter. Lots of stuff going on. Not quite as soul-crushing as it's been, although still not entirely positive. But I'm happy. I'm in the process of moving, which sucks. I hate moving. But other than that, life is good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I'm officially on Twitter now.
If yes,
anybody can you find my. I got a shout out from you. Shout out from Mark Jerome. Locker Room Access, of course, and so I have 4 followers. I'm the man.
Nice. Do you have an avatar yet? Nobody will follow you without an avatar, Doug.
I just put the picture up of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Is that an avatar or no?
Yeah, as long as you have a picture associated with it. I don't think really, care what the avatar is. It's just when you see that silhouette, which used to be an egg, like that's the first sign that it's a bot or some kind of
account
that nobody wants to interact with.
How is that going for you? What are you using? Are you using it on your phone? Are you doing it on a computer? Are you doing anything?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's on my phone. So I just go look through it.
Official Twitter app?
Yeah. I got a Twitter app. Hold on. Yep. No, I'm getting there.
All right.
I just can't really reply to people yet and see stuff in real time. I can't. Every time I go in, I gotta go back and see everything. And then I don't know how to filter through. Does that make sense?
Man, you got 106 followers.
Word?
Yeah.
There you go.
Where the hell's following you? Now I want to look and see who's following you.
Oh, boy. Let's
see. You got the Grant Kersey, Thomas Rogers, Sean Singletary. Sean Singletary doesn't follow me. Why does he follow you? Just because you played?
Because he beat me in ping pong 3 times in a row. I'm so mad about that.
You got a nice selection. You should be proud of this follow list. You got the Tony Bennett follow. That's hard to get.
Boom.
Down on hand. Yeah.
Jerry Ratcliffe, Scott Ratcliffe.
In a week, Dougie got 106 followers?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get active now.
Yeah, 106. That's pretty good, man. Broke triple digits on your first day, basically.
Yeah, and as near as I can tell, they're all real accounts. It doesn't look like you bought followers.
Not yet.
Corey Alexander.
You're clearly on track to become an influencer, Dougie.
We're gonna create a monster over here.
You are. The free shit's gonna start pouring in, man.
Once I start talking shit.
For you.
T-Dev, what's going on this week?
All right. Let's kick it off. I was gonna say the very first one near and dear to me. Nike released some Nike Dunk Lows. They call them Champs colors. They couldn't just call them UVA colors. They call them Champs colors, which I kind of like. They sold out in like a tenth of a second, so I didn't get them. I saw you, Phony. You said you were going to try to get them, but you actually have too many shoes now at this point.
Well, yeah, I've got 2 pairs of what I call game day shoes because I only wear them when I go to the games or if UVA is playing a big game. But they're both like one is a blue like leather saddle shoe, and the other is a blue suede cap toe Oxford, and they both have orange laces. And so, hey, I don't look right in sneakers. I look like a suburban dad trying to look too hip if I wear sneakers. So
I love you have game day shoes though. That's tremendous. I gotta adopt that.
I mean,
I gotta get my game day shoes.
Are you even a fan if you don't have game day shoes?
What shoes did you wear for the national title game?
Me, I wore my I think the Oxfords actually. Those are still the ones that are kind of special to me because the first time I actually posted a picture of him, and I don't remember what season, maybe the 14 season when Tony was and the team was making a big thing about 1 foot on each step or 2 feet on each step or whatever. And so I tweeted a picture of that, and they're just cool shoes. I mean, I'd like the shoes even if
these Dunks are amazing. Just because I've been waiting for UVA to release a shoe. Oh, hey. Nice. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good-looking shoe. Classy, sophisticated, a man about town. I just couldn't pull those sneakers off. And the colors don't seem quite right to me. I don't know.
Yeah, they're a little. It's a little. They're darker than I think our colors.
Both. The blue looks really dark, but I we'll see what they look like in hand. I mean, pictures are always different.
Yeah, it may just be how they process it or whatever. But it's a nice looking design. Yeah, it's a low top, which is always strikes me as weird as a basketball shoe.
Yeah, I always like low tops better.
They did this, I guess, I don't know, when the Dunks released 30 some odd years ago, they made a university pack, and it was like, you know, I think Syracuse was one of the ones in there. So they basically reimagined it with us, right, which is, I think, pretty cool. the next one I have.
I like them.
We gave our main man, Corey Alexander, a birthday shout out, but we had on there who was the best point guard in UVA history. And, you know, it has Jeff Jones, Corey, Sean, John, Crotty, Ty Jerome, Roger Mason, London, Parentes, Kihei Clark, Harold Dean, Devin Hall, Majestic Matt, Johnny Johnson, Ricky Stokes, Othell, and of course, Fresh. Forgot Donald Hand, and Donald Hand should have been in here.
He wasn't happy about it.
We missed a few of these. And then Corey said, this list is all wrong because it's missing Don Staley. And then Don Staley replied, and then Debbie Ryan replied, pretty cool.
Now, Don Staley is awesome.
Yeah. Don's reply was great, though. She's like, I was a two guard.
Yeah, that was great.
Sammy Reese was a point guard.
Yeah, she said, happy birthday, Corey. I was a two guard. And then Debbie Ryan replied with, regardless, I love you both. That's pretty cool.
Debbie.
Not much for trending, but I thought it was a cool one.
That's what we care about, right?
But I'm thinking, like, Don Staley may be bigger than Ralph. It's just, like, in terms of her broad appeal, right? It's incredible. Like, she held the flag for the U.S. in the Olympics. She's
think about longevity. Done everything. She's done everything in basketball that you can do,
right?
And more.
Think we're ever going to see her at UVA? Back?
Fingers crossed.
I don't think so.
No,
I doubt it. I hope so.
I don't know anything, but I don't think so.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like things, you know, transpired under previous administrations that
I think it was how Debbie Ryan left that she wasn't happy with, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
I thought you were alluding to coaching that she didn't
What I heard is there was a reform when Debbie Ryan left, and that administration didn't handle it too well. It sounds like Carla has kind of mended fences a little bit, but hopefully someday. But, I mean, obviously she's got a good gig there in South Carolina, and she's doing well with it. So.
Oh, yeah.
And no kidding. She's crushing it. I always cheer for her. And then the next question is Brian Sith, and we had him on our podcast, is Brian Sith the greatest UVA player not named Ralph? And this time we had Don Staley in that.
Yeah, I will not take anybody over Brian Stith. Anybody. I don't care. It's not even – it's like the biggest joke of a question to me if somebody tries to argue the other side.
And we attach a little highlight. This thing almost had 10,000 views.
It's
kind of crazy.
But it's funny. So my Twitter, when I open my Twitter up, all I see is Corey Alexander's face talking, which is a real shock. Because the video you put with Corey talking, that's all I see every time, Corey talking. Corey
oh, yeah. Talking. At the beginning, he intros. That's just cool.
Really
And then this next one, amazing stat, John Rothstein. Virginia made just 173s last year as a team. Sam Hauser made 88 in one in his
2 years.
2 years while at Marquette. Will be one of the top players that you see. What have you heard about him? Anyone?
It's easy to get excited about him. I mean, you start seeing these breakdowns of, you know, his scoring percentages and post-ups and, you know, all these different breakdowns that I can't think of the guys' names that are doing that really break it down. Okay, this is how he shoots coming off screens and stuff. And it doesn't seem like he's got a lot of weaknesses. And I don't think Tony's had a player quite like him. We've had some guys probably that we wanted to be like him, but he seems like the real deal, and he's college seasoned already. So if he's the player we think he is, we have reason to believe he is. I mean, the sky's the limit this season, assuming there is a season.
Yeah, that's the big question, man. Let's hope there's a season that doesn't get cut short.
I've told you guys before, I went to the practice this year before the Louisville game. And, you know, Sam's on the green team, whatever they call it. And he's sneaky tall, but I think he missed one shot during live scrimmage, like, situations, mm-hmm. right? And he's playing against the University of Virginia's defense. Think about that.
Right. Playing against our starters.
It'd be Momadi at one time, you know, long guys on him. And he's also – you're talking about coming off the screen. He's also good at getting it and kind of a couple of slow dribbles and just pulling up in a guy's grill. This is a two-hour practice I watched, but he did not.
He seems like a guy who will be able to, like, when we really need a bucket, we can go to him and he can just go get it, right? Yep. Which, you know, we'll see.
If we did pros and cons, and you look at it, if he has something that he's got to work on, so I don't want to say cons, but pro with benefits or strengths and areas to improve, right? Athleticism is definitely one. He's not a great athlete. He's not even a good athlete.
How's he going to hedge and recover?
Well, but he's got a high IQ.
Yeah.
His IQ is so strong. He handles the ball fairly well. He sees the court really well. He shoots it, and he has a great, great frame. So, I mean, what position does he play?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Did you guys see him play at Marquette in a real game? I don't think I ever did.
Yeah.
Not a full game. I've only watched highlights.
I've only seen highlights.
But yeah, like highlights are highlights. So that's
right.
He looks incredible.
And the locker room, where are you going to put him? He's not going to play the four, right? I'm not saying he's not going to play the four, but
not going to want to.
He's your best shooter. Definitely not going to want to. He's your best shooter, right? I think coming up, right?
He'll be the Tomas or him.
No.
He's the best. Yeah.
And so
he's the best consistent shooter for sure. I don't know if he's the best. You know, Tomas might be streaky.
Yeah. But if they put him off the screens, he's going to get up, be able to get off the screen because of his frame. Right. And sometimes he'll be able to curl. Sometimes he'll be able to flare, I guess. But you can't really waste him at the four.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy at the four.
Whatever happened to positionless basketball?
Yeah, right.
Everyone's
maybe they'll change some things up because of him, because of that weapon, you know.
Yeah, he's a really good player, and I think the team is strong next year. We had on the Jay Willis show. I brought up that what's his name? I think Joe Lenardi from ESPN wrote an article saying that UVA is ranked fourth. Early on, and fourth could be really low for them. I don't know, really low. There's only three more spaces to go up, right? But it could, but they could be. They really easily could be one or two.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many unknowns still. I mean, the freshmen that come in. I mean, it's got to be. Where would you guys put that? Even with Ty and Kyle's class, as far as Tony Bennett recruiting classes.
Yeah,
what's your opinion on that, Mark? Because you've got a personal stake in that.
Perfect transition. New Jersey numbers for the.
I think
from Preston Willett.
I haven't seen the Beekman play a lot. You know, I just know about Jabri. I hear Beekman's really, really, really good. I don't know what happens with McCorkle. I'm not McCorkle. What's his name?
Trey Murphy.
Carson
yeah, McCorkle.
I'm
not sure where he fits in. I don't know if he plays a lot. If they redshirt him, I'm hearing different things. I'm not sure if he's – people are – I've heard some comparisons to Kyle Guy, right? And other people say maybe.
Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Got to make a white comparison for some reason.
Who's wearing number
one? Malachi. I was just going to say Malachi Poindexter.
Well, great name. Poindexter. Yeah. I never heard of him.
Is he walk on?
I think he's a preferred walk on.
Gotcha.
He's got the number. He's got the number marking.
Good combination of experience and new guys coming in.
Well, and Trey, well, I guess Trey Murphy won't be playing this year, but right, because he has to sit out.
Yeah, he does.
Is that the deal? But somebody said he's listed at 6'9 on the roster this year, and he entered college at 6'4.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Something like that.
Yeah. I read that somewhere. He really grew. Where is he transferring from?
Oh, no, Rice. Oh, okay. Rice.
Right. Rice, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like an Ivy League, which Rice is kind of almost an Ivy League.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. You know, that's a lot of new guys to integrate, though, hopefully.
The kid Carson's, is he pretty athletic? He looks like, I think he plays really hard, right? He looks like he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Who replaces Mamadi?
Nobody.
You can't.
We have had, UVA's had an athletic big for the last several years, right?
I think Justin McCoy is going to surprise people.
Yeah, if anyone, it's probably going to be Justin McCoy.
When I saw him play last year and he didn't play a lot, he looked really, really comfortable on the court. He didn't look deer in the headlights or didn't know what he was. He looked so comfortable to me.
Yeah, I mean, and he seemed comfortable on both ends of the court and confident. Right? Like, yeah, it was enough, especially that first third of the season, first half of the season, to kind of make you wonder why he wasn't getting more minutes in some of those games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he could he could certainly have a breakout year.
Hopefully it starts soon. I think the guys are coming.
I hope these guys have had time to be able to get their extra work in, you know, like develop from that, you know, 1 year to the next is a big deal.
Yeah, we also got Shedrick this year, right?
Yeah, that's right. Big guy.
PB, you said there's a lot of – what?
Poppy?
And Poppy, yeah, Poppy.
Oh, yeah, and Poppy, yeah. But, yeah, Caden Shedrick, how tall is he? He's 6'11". He's a
big kid.
Yeah, he was long.
Yeah.
PB, I was going to ask you. You said there's a lot of uncertainty. Hopefully there's a season.
Yeah, there could be no season. That'd be crazy. What happens is, so we don't get to see Sam Hauser at all?
I'll tell you what, man, the news flow yesterday, you know, being at work in my job, which we see the news all day, it was horrible in terms
of the spike in corona.
Oh, my. It's like just reads horrible.
Yeah.
Well, then you start seeing some of these football teams that are getting together for practice, and they got 9 guys positive and –
yeah.
Clemson had 30. Is that? Am I making that right? I heard that right. I heard Clemson 30. Alabama. Somebody else.
Crazy.
30. It's a lot. 30 out of 90.
The NBA has a ton of positive now, and that's actually a good one to go to now. Malcolm Brogdon.
I gotta imagine that there's anywhere between 3 and 5 guys from the NBA average per team. I think the Suns had 2. And that's only players. That doesn't include the staff. They had several staff, multiple staff members who had it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And in golf, you're hearing about the caddies. A couple of caddies have had it. Tested positive.
Yeah, the PGA had to make an announcement about it.
So you think about trainers, you think about training room, these guys all being, you know.
So Malcolm made the statement, I recently tested positive for COVID virus and am currently in quarantine. I'm doing well, feeling well, progressing well. I plan to join my team in Orlando for the resumption of the NBA season playoffs.
Good to get it now.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't affect him too much, I mean, then he'll have the immunity, at least for the time being. But they're saying the immunity might start to wean after 3 or 4 months for a lot of people, and that's –
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
I also read, like, they still don't know the long-term effects on people's lungs after having it, contracted it, even asymptomatic people, which is pretty scary. The next one, we'll get to something a little more positive. Hawk Edits, Jaden Hawkins, created this UVA team poster, which is amazing. And it's got, like, all of the guys on each side dunking. Cool. And half of them in white jerseys, half of them in blue.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really well executed, and it's just a killer concept for a poster. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the AD ever the department ever thinks about using something outsourced like that. But, man, that is just really killer. And it also tells me how many of these new guys, I don't know who the hell they are, because I'm looking at this poster. I'm like, is this Temple? Who? What team is this?
But, exact same for me.
So I got to start learning jersey numbers.
Shout out to Julie Ramirez, who's a friend of mine, and that's her son that does these.
Oh, cool.
Julie and Cindy. Cindy Ramirez, we all went to school together. Cindy, in fact, was pretty close with Richard Morgan. They were good friends.
Oh, that's cool.
They were the same crew, so that's her nephew.
The one comment I saw on Twitter was, not one single defensive stance in the poster. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have done one side on offense, one side on defense. Right. Maybe they're blocking the final dunk.
There's one guy, one side is eight guys setting picks and just
hard hedging.
Hedging.
And then this next one, we don't even know. The Locker Room Access account was taken over by anonymous men's basketball player.
I know who it was.
There's some good ones.
I don't know. Nobody told me who it was, but I can tell by the responses who it was.
I mean, all the answers for who's good were Sam, so I'm going to go with Sam.
Yeah, there was a lot of Sam talking here.
I'm trying to educated look. Guess. Oh, was it a current player for sure doing it?
I think that was what it was. Don't you guys? Isn't this what you guys do? Don't you guys know?
Well, we didn't know, so we handed it off the account, and then they figured it out who was going to do it.
I got you.
We don't know. It could be current, could be ex. We have no idea.
Oh, because for me, the answers for me read like it was Ty Jerome.
Because it's Jay Huff. The first one, who would win a dunk contest, said Jay Huff. And then who wins a three-point shootout this year, I said Sam. How good is Sam? He said elite. And this is a good article about it. It's pretty cool. Someone asked who will lead the team in scoring. He said, I can't predict the future. That was a good thing.
No, the answers are funny. I like that. That's why I thought it was.
And this one was good. What was the most impressive 1-3 play? The Kihei Damamedi, the one we talked about, biggest right. believer. One is Kihei Damamedi. Two, the Kyle Guy free throws. Three, Ty DeDre against Texas Tech. And he said that order sounds about right.
Maybe it's Jay Huff.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
And I want Tony to take over my account for a day.
That'd be hilarious.
Like, I know he would have zero interest in doing that, but I just...
It would just be a day of where nothing happens.
Right.
Tony, take over, and you just don't have
it. Like, the only tweet is just, good morning. That's it for the whole day.
No, you might get the, what are they called? The pillars, like 8 a.m. passion, 10 a.m. unity.
And then the last one I'll end with, best glue guy in UVA history. Who do you guys have?
This is a
tough one. Is it like what?
It's a good discussion though, right? Like we said,
yeah.
Like I think Kenny Turner was, it's a bad word, too good to be a glue guy.
Is that you said he scored too much to be, but to me, glue guy is the guy that brought everyone together. That has nothing to do with scoring. It's just like do all the little things and. Yeah. I don't know what your definition of glue is, but
Isaiah Wilkins.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. That's like for me that was it. He was,
not Jack Salt.
No, his. I mean, he obviously had his role, and it was more important than I think probably a lot of people credit him for. But to me, it was Zay. Like that whole machine, particularly on defense, worked because of him, because he was doing it all and cleaning up for everyone else's mistakes.
His help defense, him and Akil, I think, are the best ever.
I thought you had Jay Willie on there.
Yeah, he is right there.
Oh, okay. I got it. I like that uniform.
Jay Willie's definitely on there.
Yeah, see, I remember all those guys, but I can't think back far enough to know who I would have thought was a glue guy in the Jeff Jones era.
We were all polarizing, so by definition anti-glue.
AO, I put AO on there.
But how about my call? 1989 for 1 year, it was Matt Blunden. That tournament.
That's a good one.
Oh yeah.
He was a must.
He was a bruiser, setting screens, and that's a good one.
Get that little jumper.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and can a glue guy be somebody who's like Brian Stith?
No.
No.
Not in my definition. I think it's like a.
What's your definition?
I think like a Jason Williford, man. He's willing to come off the bench as a senior. At times, you know, he's a leader. It's a big time vocal leader. I don't think Cornell's a glue guy that way. I think Zay was perfect because when we talked to Zay, who I didn't know all about, he was talking about in practice, yelling at dudes, pushing dudes. You know, he was all over the court when I watched him. I just see like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't notice him like getting the dunk or scoring, but all of a sudden he's everywhere, right?
Yep.
He's not touching the ball five times a possession. He might not, and then all of a sudden he catches it in the back on the backside and just dunks it on somebody. That to me is a glue guy.
I think
Ted Jeffries for sure.
Somebody who keeps everybody together, right?
Yeah.
Physically and mentally and emotionally. Someone who can play, someone who's willing to give up their body, someone who plays great defense, someone who takes charges, someone who doesn't feel like he needs to score all the time.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I'm not qualified to know the team prior to 2016 nearly as well as you guys. I know a couple of guys.
I was also thinking in terms of glue, like keeping the team together when people rally around. That's why I was thinking like AG did a lot of that, right? That's why I put in, you know, in some ways it was like, oh, he scores way too much to be a glue guy. But I was just thinking in terms of like bringing the guys together to make sure everyone is
no, he's definitely a glue guy.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I think the connotations of glue guy is you're not like a star.
You can't score and you can't do anything.
And AG was absolutely a star, you know?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
I think you can score as a glue guy as long as I think it's a lot of leadership. Glue guys represent a lot of leadership.
Dude, Ted Jeffries, absolutely a glue guy. Not even, 100%. Good list. I was not.
Jason Clark, I don't know. These are just random, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at John Tell as being a real leader, but yeah, when I think of glue guy, like I'm probably mostly thinking of the bigger players who are you know probably
doing the dirty work.
Yeah, because I think that's a lot of it is the guys that are doing the work in the trenches more or less and not necessarily getting the credit. And that's Darian Atkins, man, that guy worked his butt off and Zay was always so positive and just, you know, great attitude out there. When we had him on the podcast a couple of years ago, told him how, you know, the only negativity I ever saw from him on the court was after that Louisville, that miracle finish at Louisville. And he got pissed when he was at the bottom of the dog pile and he's yelling at the guys to get off me. But other than that, like he was just a positive force out there, just motivating and bringing the team together and doing everything.
Always. Yeah. High energy.
Have you guys had him on?
Yes. Yes.
He was incredible.
He was, I need more Isaiah Wilkins time.
Yeah. He was so good.
Yeah.
So really good. In terms of, he gave us so much stuff. We should probably break that podcast up into little chunks and put it on social media.
Even though it's not a tweet, maybe we should talk about it too. Gus Gerard.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
What do you know about him, Phony?
I don't know anything about Gus Gerard. What's someone want to give me some backstory here?
So we had him on the podcast last week. We knew about him a little bit from, you know, Barry Parkhill. A bunch of people have told us how great he is as a player. And like, you know, he played in the ABA, he's an ABA All-Star, incredible dunker, da-da-da. But then he came on and like – he's just so charismatic and talking about the NBA and then he had a struggle with addiction and his life spiraled and he became homeless and tried to kill himself. And like, it was really intense. It was like the most intense. It was such a good, and the flow of the conversation was like incredible in terms of like, I don't know. I don't even know how to encapsulate it. Is that
but fair? He's an ABA guy that was a high flyer, right? He was not a glue guy. Maybe he was actually, but he was a guy playing above the rim, you know, white dude from Virginia.
And
talking names like Dr. J, like it's no big deal. Fly Williams, no big deal. You know,
we have him on as our best dunker.
Wow. I mean, I'm looking at him. He's got the big sideburns, the wristbands, the mustache. I mean, this guy's he's got it all. I had no idea who he was. I mean, you know, because I started watching Virginia basketball in 90, 91, I guess. Yeah. And so obviously I quickly got up to speed on Ralph on forward and then gradually learned about the guys before Wally Walker and all that. But, wow, that sounds interesting. I'll have to listen to that.
And Gus too, like we've had Barry on obviously and Wally who they're so humble. They won't even talk about themselves. Gus lets it go. He's like, nah, I was doing this on that guy. I was going backwards on this guy. Like, that's what I did. It's very cool.
It was great. I mean, it's also kind of interesting. He's the first person to leave early go to pro at the NBA. Or ABA, I should say. First player to leave UVA early. So I wonder if that's part of why you don't ever hear his name and, like, thrown around like Barry Parkhill. And plus, you know, he went through a lot of issues. I wonder if the university kind of disassociated with him a little bit. I don't know.
Gotcha. You would think they'd mend those.
Yeah.
Those things. I mean, Olden Polonese is around the program some now, isn't he? I mean, is he?
I'd like to hope so. I don't know. I haven't seen much from him. We'd love to get him on.
Yeah, because unfortunately, his career at UVA kind of.
Unfortunately, with the headphones at Rose's ended.
Right.
I don't know. It'd be cool if we can get someone like him or Melvin Whitaker. I'd love to get Melvin Whitaker.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to hear his story because, I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing to, you know, most of us, because we never actually saw him play, you don't have that connection to him. You don't feel a lot. It's just that's where the Jeff Jones era really
ended,
yeah. I mean, you can point to that plummet but I've read some articles about him, and he's actually a pretty sympathetic character in his retelling of what happened that day with the box cutter and stuff. I mean, it definitely makes you think. And I mean, I would love for Virginia fans to have a chance to hear what he has to say and kind of, you know, how his life has been going. I mean, hopefully he's in a good place right now.
We gotta find him, Fresh.
Yeah, I think I found him on Facebook, but I haven't talked to him. I'll tell you what, man, it happened at Slaughter, and I know that. And dude, the confrontations and the near fights and the real fights at Slaughter were real back then.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about his story except for the ending. You know, probably got an argument about a foul call or whatever, and it probably just went crazy, and he probably just, you know, in the heat of, it was probably 170 degrees in the gym. And he obviously did the wrong thing, but.
In the heat of the moment, I guess. Dude, got
those battles were real. Real.
Crazy.
Man, I almost got in a fight with my roommate at the Dell for the way he was guarding me. I'm trying to back him down, and he throws a knee like into like the back of my thigh, you know, and just about takes me down. Like, I mean, it you get worked up playing that sport. So,
yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
I get it. It doesn't excuse it, but I get it.
Yeah.
I do too, to be honest.
But yeah, I would love to hear his story and just kind of give him the chance to talk to the Virginia fans because unfortunately his story holds a very specific place in kind of the trajectory of the program.
Right.
And he deserves that chance to set the record straight.
We'll see if we can get him on at some point. That'd be
maybe
as a guest on the Phony Bennett coaches show.
That'd yeah, be because awesome. I'm the one you think of when you think of serious journalism.
We get all the New York Cats on one time. John Johnson, Olden, Mel Kennedy.
Yep. Imagine those guys with you, Mark. That would be hilarious.
I saw that Jamal Robinson is in line. Did he get it? Like some new
Sal?
Yeah, he got it.
That's awesome. Good for him.
That's great. He's not moving, is he?
Yeah, he told me he's moving July 1st. Well, he wanted to move July 1st, but he's got to, right? How can he not move and coach?
He's moving right away?
Yeah.
Wow.
He texted me. He said he wanted to move July 1st, but he thinks he's got to go beforehand or something. I don't know. So, yeah, he's moving.
That's crazy.
And he was – like that team probably, like, what, the 95-96 team? I mean, he was probably my favorite player to watch because he was just so electric.
charismatic.
The guy was skinny. What do you weigh? Like 90 pounds? Like,
I mean, yeah, he's up right here. Yeah.
You know, Chris, phony. When we used to play shirts and skins, Jamal was always had to be shirts. We wouldn't let him take a shirt off.
It'd make you sad.
as a high school senior coming in, yeah, we're like, Jamal, put your shirt back on.
Oh, so best dunker in UVA history. I mean, Jamal was crazy, but I'm almost inclined to put Mustafa up there for that one dunk against NC State. And what people have to remember about that incredible dunk that like won that ACC competition a couple of years ago, the best dunk in ACC history, is he dunked that right-handed, and he's a left-handed player.
Yeah.
And people lose that. Like, you don't realize it when you see it. But, I mean, he's doing that with his offhand. And for my money, a good dunk is about asserting your will on the rim. It's not necessarily about the acrobatics and all that stuff. And that's cool to watch, but it's in the moment. That's why like dunk competitions don't really excite me. Like when I see a dunk in a game, I want to see somebody dunking on somebody and putting it down with authority. And that dunk,
by that was Farrakhan, incredible.
Yeah.
And well, the Darius Thompson one against, I think it was William and Mary, was impressive too.
I was there for that game.
That was really, and this one pictured here with DeAndre Hunter on UNC, that one was impressive too.
I can't find it.
I don't know. Can you see it on your screen? Jamal had a bunch of amazing dunks.
That Adam Hall picture is fly.
Yeah, look at that.
Elbows on the rim.
Yeah,
that's a cool ass picture.
And Gus just wasn't allowed to dunk at UVA's, but I had to include him.
But yeah, Jamal Robinson had two dunks. I saw the game here against ODU, like probably the last time UVA played at ODU, and he had two dunks in the first half, like just open court things that just brought the house down. As much as you can bring the house down on the road, but I was going nuts.
I wish I could find it. Corey had a dunk at Florida State my last year, his second year. He like came down like a secondary fast break type thing. People are back. And he just kept going and kept going and rose up from before the dotted, like the dotted line that circle around. Right. Before that, raised up over everybody and just like, what just happened, Corey?
He was sneaky with his dunks.
He was sneaky with it.
Sometimes he would just easily lay it in. Other times he would just throw it down.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like
– he was a selective dunker.
Yeah, he was. Iverson was like that in college too.
Yeah,
he would just randomly just get crazy aggressive and start throwing things down. It's like, what? Anyway, anything else this week?
No Jay Huff on this list.
He probably should have been on there.
Jay got some nice styles, man. I don't care how tall he is; he's got some nice style in his dunk.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's just had a couple of those where he gets on the perimeter and just kind of shakes. And I was like, I almost put in my password. I'm like, why? That's not my name. I can't. I'm like, what? Authorize something. But yeah, maybe Jay can make the list next year, see what he can do.
I mean, I feel like against Duke, he always gets one or two amazing dunks. We can go through one more of these.
And by the way, how many guys have dunked on LeBron James? I think only Malcolm.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
Yeah, this one.
I don't remember what else happened that game, but Malcolm had like a couple plays that game that were crazy, but I remember watching that. Like,
Didn't he get Kyrie one time too and kind of talk shit to him?
Yeah, he did.
Got fired up about it.
Here's the next one. Best defender in UVA history. I mean, it's got to be Ralph, honestly.
Yeah, it's John
Singletary.
It's unfair to be on here. We got to take him out.
You got to take him out of everything, basically. Anything not named Ralph.
I mean, Anthony Oliver should definitely be in there.
Chris,
when you think about Alexander, the guys that Anthony had to guard.
Yeah, Anthony Oliver should have been on there.
And shut down.
Sean probably should have been up there. His second steals, I think.
Cornell for sure.
Cornell was. I can't imagine Cornell in the pack line.
Oh, no chance. No. I mean, he'd be, if he wanted to, he'd be phenomenal at it. I don't see him.
The discipline?
Not even discipline. It's just he did beat, you know, his different drum type thing. He just did things his way and it worked out.
But his wingspan was just incredible. The ground he could cover, that guy.
The best catch-up defender I've ever seen.
John Till.
He ain't made it, huh?
Is John Till someone we should get on to, you think?
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear stories from him. Yeah. I mean, you know, John Till is still one of the best on-ball defenders
ever.
Yeah, he was just so darn good watching him. And I love John Till because he played with his emotions on full display.
Yeah.
And just, like, it made you want to root for him, and he was a great guy.
Really a football player. Any of those guys are, like, 5'10 and under and strong like that, they're so tough to play against, man. I'd rather guarded and been guarded by a 6'5 guy than Kihei or John Till or somebody like that.
I just remember the people were – he's similar to Kihei in that a lot of people killed his ability to shoot. Just was all over John Till for that.
Yeah.
Just like he brought so much else to the table.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, and his defense – and I've told John Till this, that his defense was what made me finally buy into Tony Bennett's system and to this idea that, okay, we're going to be a defense first squad. And he's the guy that made me love defense. Like, you know, until then I was happier to watch the teams running and, you know, trying to put up a lot of points. And then what you give up on the other end, you're just going to try to make up for it. But like watching the effort and I mean, he could move laterally so well and great hands. No, yeah. Bubba's fun. Yeah. You should definitely get him.
I have to work on that one. I have to ask Justin.
Yeah, I can find it. I can find it. Teddy Bacote. What's his last name? Bacote. Their cousin. You know what I mean, my buddy.
I was just thinking we still haven't gotten Ralph. We need to somehow get Ralph Sampson.
You gotta tell Phil, man. Phil owes us now. We made him a star.
Yeah.
We made Phil Wendell a star. He's got to bring Ralph.
Ralph's your white whale. The problem is, once you finally get Ralph, you're going to have nothing to go for, and you're going to be
there.
Just remember that.
When people think of Virginia, they think of Ralph, and his story has been told so many times. So,
yeah, but
value we're going to add.
Once you get him, you have nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, as far as Virginia goes, he's the GOAT. I mean, the fact that in every one of these things, you have to go, okay, who's the best other than Ralph? Who's the best?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ex-Ralph, who's this? That's so true, man.
Maybe we'll get Ralph and Melvin Whitaker together for the ultimate mashup. People want change of pace. There you go. Ralph, meet Melvin. Or not. That's probably a terrible idea. Anything else? Anything else this week? All right, fellas. Have a good week. Until next week.
Peace.
Later.
Thanks, guys.
EB.
Bye, Mark.
And fakes the pass and sends it down with a tomahawk slam.
Jerome off the glass, count it, and one. Joe.